Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Did you see that I tweeted earlier? There's no Italian wizards. Can you believe that?
I can 100%, yes.
I'm surprised, knowing J.K. Rowling, I'm surprised she didn't do arrivederci,
Half of her spells sound like they're Italian words anyway.
Yeah.
Like Asio, like that, dude, all that shit is. One of the jokes I had lined up for that, I was going to say expecto prosciutto, but like I was like, eh, it's a... Needs work.
J.K. Rowling is the Julia Louis-Dreyfus character from You People.
Yes.
I think she's well-intentioned, but she is so fucking problematic all the time for no reason.
If she threw in a trans comment in that movie, it would have been very funny, actually, the more I'm thinking about it.
God, what a waste of my life. What a,
All right, let's roll back into it.
Back into you. What are you talking about? This is our first time.
This is our first time recording LCB episode 75, right? We were saying. Let's just get into the nitty gritty. We recorded this episode. We recorded it in full. Me, Gooch, Chris, and Eddie. Great discussion. Some good jokes. And we had an antique, very retro LCB disaster.
Listen, I fucked up. I took a Mecha Okafor. I fucked up. All right. I didn't press record.
Which is a vintage LCB mistake. I was saying in the chat before, the second episode ever of LCB, me, Trill, and Jeff spent, I want to say, 2.5 hours talking about Transformers the last night.
Jesus.
And it didn't record. We didn't press record. So we had to redo the entire thing. But in this case, we're not going to try and redo all the organic conversations that we had. We'll touch on the same stuff that we touched on. But we're also going to add in a quick little draft.
I've got new takes. I've changed my mind on everything we talked about earlier.
Well, we'll touch on those. We're also going to do a draft of actors that we think should make a comeback in honor of the whale. But we'll touch a little bit on the whale. We'll touch a little bit on You People. And we'll touch... Oh, that sounded weird. I'm going to take that one back.
Touch a little bit on You People.
Yeah. Touch little people. No, that's definitely, that's worse. And a couple of news items too. We could start with, we all generally loved that last episode of The Last of Us. Chris, you were actually not on when we talked about this because you had come in a little late.
I was on a call.
What did you think of it?
Loved it. I think this is the high point of the series so far. I think, I feel very vindicated, quite frankly, about the opinions I've had about some of the other shows that we've watched, because like, this is actually like, this is fucking art, like what they did in this episode. And I think everybody liked the first two episodes, but I really think episode three is a turning point where people are like, okay, this isn't just great, like survival horror sci-fi. This is really like an incredibly well done series. And I feel like I'm going to ask this every week, but I was going to make a joke. I'm not going to. There's no way all of that was in the game, right?
No. So spoiler right away. Was not in the game. In the game, no, you didn't say anything that was spoiler yet. But to give you the spoiler, no, that didn't happen in the game. In the game, Bill is like Bill and Joel, you as Joel, you interact a lot, and you later find Frank's dead body. together. He had run away. I think he had gotten bit and then he killed himself. So that scene is brutal on its own, but the way that they did this was even more brutal.
Yeah. And character driven and emotional. And the best Nick Offerman's been in anything. I mean, he's not to say that he's ever bad, but he's give him all the awards. I mean, he's incredible in it. Yeah, I really think, you know, and we've talked about the video game curse on here. They've really cracked it with this. I mean, obviously, because and it's ironic that it's based on a game because this episode felt like a side quest. But I mean that in the best way possible. Like, did it expand on Joel's story? Maybe not necessarily. Maybe not a ton. But it sure as hell enhanced, you know, how I felt about the series as a whole and made these characters a lot richer. This is what you should do with television since you have more time to let these characters breathe and grow and develop. So, yeah, I think it's fucking fantastic, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was our general feelings, too, because like when you play the game, right, you get a lot of backstory on Joel and Ellie and everything like that. But to get like a different perspective of how the apocalypse went down, which they're doing a lot in this, like that is cool. I think it's very, very cool. And I think that love story was destructive.
That was just mean what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just mean.
Yeah. And
I finished up that Bengals game. I was telling them, Chris, I finished up the Bengals game. I'm like depressed. I'm like, all right, I got to work past this. I can't let this ruin my week. It has. I'm like, all right, at least I have The Last of Us to go home to. Big, long episode of The Last of Us. This will be great. This will put me in a little better spirits because I get to watch good TV. And then they just lay on what Eddie describes as the 5-minute opening to Up, stretched out over 50 minutes, just ripping our guts out.
Good Game Lord. Up. Yeah.
That's literally what it was. It was 120 minutes of Up, of the beginning of Up. And it was,
which that was your observation, Eddie. That it is an astute observation.
Very.
I really like, now that I've had more time to think about it, because earlier I was saying that I think this will be a divisive episode, not because of the gay stuff, but because it's a deviation from the game in a pretty big way that they haven't done so yet. Mm-hmm. But I think I like the decision because now you go into future episodes. You don't have to just expect a one-to-one adaptation. They're going to do more stuff, not only just expand on the lore, but change some of it too in ways that I think was beneficial. I think this is a smart move for the show. I think this was a smart deviation. It was interesting to see that backstory that people can, you know, live through this terrible pandemic and, you know, they're finding happiness with each other.
Exactly.
It was good.
Some cool stuff, good songs. That song they played, that orchestral song, I looked at the name of it later. The one they used during the dinner scene. Ooh, that one, that's a cheat code for crying. I really like that.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was, and really what this show's doing too, it's for these long episodes to go as fast as they're going. And the ending too, with you know, the note and walking in and seeing the flies and the food and the dusty table. And everything, it just fucking hits, man. Mm-hmm. It hits. And like I said, I never played the game. I know nothing about what I'm in for. I know nothing about the real version of the story, but it's been really good so far.
Yeah.
That's what makes me excited for you. You get we know partially, like, I guess, like the general endpoint of the series. And like, I'm just excited for you because you're going to get to see some crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. I know. Awesome. They confirmed also. I can't believe they've already confirmed it, but season two. And apparently it's going to follow part two also.
Yeah.
The second game, which I'm sure will be interesting.
They're going to change shit up on that. They'll change it up on that. I think sure.
They're going to deviate a lot from.
Yeah. If you don't know, Eddie, the second game came out and is very divisive. Some people fucking say it's better than the first one. Some people hate it. The first one is like universally, like I've never met someone who played it and didn't love it. So
Great game. Before we get into the rest of the stuff here, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up the way that you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you, because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything that life throws at you. We talk about therapy all the time in this podcast, obviously super important. I used BetterHelp over the course of the pandemic when I couldn't get to my regular therapist. It was really helpful, really easy for more reasons than one. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched up with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/lights and get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/lights. Thanks to BetterHelp. Some of the other things we talked about, Mia Goth upset about the Oscars, understandably so. It's just being all political. She said a change is necessary.
No, what? You have to say it in her voice.
Absolutely not. So Eddie, huge horror guy. I know you were big on Pearl and X, and also you're big on just horror movies in general.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think this is a genuine complaint. I think it's one of those two. It doesn't come off as sour grapes, because if you've seen both of those movies, you knew how great she was. It's weird. I said this when we recorded earlier, like, it's some of the, like, you know, the streaming services have broke through, I think, right? They've won some big awards at the
Oscars. I mean, Coda was Apple TV. Right?
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, it's just horror. I don't know. The horror just cannot, you know, seem to break through. I don't know what has to be done for it to break through, at least for a nomination. But I don't know. I think she's a genuine gripe. I do. So I get it, I guess.
This is a good test, I think, just sort of the Oscars just not maybe totally being in the know. I'll give you some of the other nominees for Best Actress, and you can tell me if you saw the movie, since you're a regular guy, essentially, Eddie, I think, if that makes sense. The front runner is Kate Blanchett in Tar. Did you watch Tar?
No.
Ana de Armas in Blonde.
No.
Andrea Riseborough in To Leslie.
No.
Michelle Williams in The Fabelmans.
No.
Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
No, but that's on me. I got to watch that. I got to see that.
That was probably the most mainstream out of all of those, other than The Fabelmans.
Yeah.
It's just tough.
That's the worst category, too, because, like, while Blanchett and Yeoh are, like, the clear, like,
yeah. 1-2.
They were locks for those nominations. But with the other nominations, they were just throwing names at the wall. So why not just give it to Mia Goth? You know, let some other people that actually deserve it get in. Their adherence to not, like, they don't want to put in comedy. They don't want to do horror. They really don't want to do action. And it's just stupid. Like, you're missing out on 75% of movies when you're only focusing in on these dramas. Like, it's dumb.
I also think over the last several years, there's been a resurgence with horror, and just kind of randomly a lot of female led horror. And so it's not just Mia Goth. I mean, if it was just her, you could say, well, it was something of an anomaly, bizarre year, whatever. But I think between this, Elizabeth Moss and The Invisible Man, Toni Collette and Hereditary, we're coming up on like three different instances in which you had an actress who gave a great, like, terrifying performance.
Pugh, Midsommar.
Florence Pugh. Yeah. I forgot about that one because she was nominated for something else. But yeah, you're right. Like, I think that the fact that horror seemingly, and maybe Get Out kind of inspired, horror's gotten a lot better and a lot more artsy. I mean that as a positive. It is time we see. You know, we went through the same thing, though, I mean, with comic book movies for a long time, where, like, you know, guys were giving great performances and never really acknowledged. Then, you know, I think there will be one at some point that's going to get its due. But yeah, I mean, it's a genuine gripe.
Horror movies are getting more artsy, aka they finally have, like, plots and, like,
yeah,
right, yeah, it's not slashers anymore, right?
Central themes,
yeah, general dialogue. I honestly dialogue. Did not even like love Pearl, like, it, like, I
mean, neither,
yeah, like, it was.
See, I loved Pearl.
Did you like? She was awesome. She was great, but like, as a horror film, like, it's just not traditional for what, like, I love.
But that's the thing with, like, this category all the time. Like, I remember we had mentioned it last time, the Elvis thing is the same argument. Or, like, Elvis. Not a great movie. Austin Butler, very good in it. Like, you can you can get a nomination even if your movie isn't particularly good.
Yeah, I mean, fucking Ana de Armas got nominated.
Exactly. And her performance wasn't even good, to be frank.
I'm the biggest Ana de Armas fan second biggest Ana de Armas fan updates on Twitter.
Yes.
Number one, she's a psychopath, but I love her. I'm the second biggest Ana de Armas fan out there, and I can't defend that movie. I mean, that was terrible. She wasn't good. Like,
I didn't think she was very good in it either. Yeah,
she was good in spots, but, like, for the most part, her accent kept flaring up. No offense to her accent flared up a lot. Like,
I would have. I thought, and I know none of us loved this movie. I thought Margot Robbie probably deserved a little bit more. more love for Babylon.
She was really good too, in Babylon. But, I would put that in over two of them there. Honestly, three of them probably. But like still, that should, also, maybe should have been up there. A couple others too.
No one has seen fucking To Leslie.
Not a single human being.
No, not even like critics. Like, yeah. No one has seen the movie.
I was reading something someone had posted, like apparently the voters were essentially harassed by the what do you call it, their committee to go to the screenings, to host them, to do all this crazy shit. And I don't know, it's just, it's a weird campaign, and there's more that's going to come out about that, and I think it'll make for a funny story.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, they're launching an investigation into it, which means they're just saying that, and then nothing will ever come up.
Absolutely nothing will happen from that. Next, we mentioned some bit. Zach Cregger got an 8-figure deal to write a horror epic for New Line called Weapons. Biggest takeaway, again, stays the same from the last time we recorded, which is Zach Cregger needs to spell his last name with a K. It can't be Cregor.
That was our takeaway.
That's the biggest one. Like, it's great. It's awesome. But the biggest takeaway is he needs to change his last name to have a K, because Zach Cregger is one of the greatest. That would be the greatest horror director name, I think.
You have two tough names in there between Zach and Craig. No offense to my Zachs or my Craigs. One of my best friends' name is Zach, but it just doesn't feel like a director.
Did you just do like the eye of the black friend excuse for the name Zach?
Yeah. This is you people.
I can't be racist against Zachs. I have a friend named Zach.
I bring home my friend, and my parents are just appalled. His name is Zach.
I have the most extensive collection of Zach memorabilia on the internet. How dare you call me mean against Zachs?
I was Zach Cregger rookie card. Yeah.
Yeah. That was still one of the funniest ones on Twitter, Darren Revelle. Oh my
God. All time.
Holy shit, that was good.
Good for Zach Cregger, though. Good for wild story. Just a wild story. Hey,
we're going to be talking about comebacks later. I mean, that's a hell of a comeback there. Seriously. I mean, going from a comedy troupe to making one of the best horror movies I'd seen in a minute. Yeah, good for him.
And we're all Barbarian guys here. Eddie, you really liked it too, right?
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah. I thought Barbarian was good.
Yeah.
It was solid. Yeah.
Really solid and just different.
But the way they describe this movie, by the way, have you seen, they call it the horror version of Magnolia. Like, that's the vibe. Right.
This is where it comes to problem when, like, the critical world tries to dive into evaluating horror movies now that they're not just the hack and slash whatever. Is like, the only way they can compare it is by referencing it to some other movie like fucking Magnolia. Like, come on, dude.
I'm interested. What could a horror epic possibly be? That's what I am interested by this.
Like, yeah.
Also, it's called Weapons. Which cool name. Is, you know, that's good slang for titties.
It could be about killer titties.
Or great wide receiver duo. You never know. It could be anything. Next, we'll do a quick touch on both The Whale and you people. The Whale, I gave it a 90 out of 100. I thought it was an awesome, awesome movie that I think was really highlighted by Brendan Fraser's performance. I think it was incredible. And for a guy that is so, like, took such a long break from acting inadvertently, basically to go from, like, before that break doing comedy, romance, and then just do something this emotionally deep, I think it was exceptional. He really killed it. And Hong Chau, also amazing. Really loved, like, the condensed and was an intimate sort of feel of the play settings. Darren Aronofsky movie based on a play. Thought it was great. So, Eddie, you had texted me right after you seen it saying how much you liked it. So, give me your thoughts on The Whale.
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously, Brendan Fraser, love aside, like, you know, you guys are, LCB is a Brendan Fraser podcast, right? Widely known. And he did great. He got nominated. But I think this movie hit on so much. And there were two scenes in particular that I want to talk about that, you know, we brought up in the last show. And one was the realness of the delivery driver scene. We talked about it, Chris and I, I delivered pizzas for a summer in college, and just, you've always just had those kind of customers that you're just like, so, I don't want to say enamored, but you're just so intrigued by. There's like some type of mystique. Like there's some guy that just would always say like, hey, like throw all the jalapenos you got onto the pizza. And I was always like, who is this guy? You know? So just like that whole scene of him and just the realness and the rawness of him going outside to pick up that pizza and them locking eyes. Like, I don't know. There was something about that scene that really struck me. And I thought that might have been the best scene in the whole movie. The other one was the one where he was Googling his blood pressure and he, you know, he had the candy bar. He looked it up. He picked it up. He put it down. And there were just so many moments like that that I just kind of were like, they just hit the nail on the head with how I think this guy just lives his life. And I think a lot of people in America kind of do so. I really liked it. I thought there were a lot of good, good parts of it. And obviously Brendan did a great job. And I know Gooch is going to touch on some other stuff that he didn't like. And I agree with him. So, but as far as my perspective, I'm high 80s, low 90s. I definitely thought they did a good job. A lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, I did see some criticism that people didn't like that it stemmed from a play, but I had no problem with that. I liked it. Yeah. The fact that it was, I don't think they left, besides going to get the pizza and that short scene on the front porch, I don't think they left the apartment at all, but that's kind of the point, right? Like being recluse, and that's like how these people live. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I agree from a technical aspect. I think that was a genius decision. Like, that's very smart. It was a very effective storytelling decision. Like, you felt what he felt. Like, that aspect ratio too, like you felt like you're in the room, the close up shots from like down angle, like it looked good. Like that's it achieved the intended effect, which I told this story also in regards to the sound, which it sounded great, but I thought they had added in something during my showing because like every 15 minutes while I was watching it, you'd get just this loud like shaking noise. And I thought it was part of the movie because I was like, oh, he's experiencing like hypertension, like he's so large, like that's probably what he felt, and that's like an interesting device. And then I realized that I'm at this old dumpy theater called the Angelica, and it's right next to the subway, and it was just the subway the whole time.
Would have been cool, stupid. More people gotta think about doing that in the future. Chris,
actually, he did a Q&A there like the night before. I wish I had gone to that show. I'm like, hey, Darren, listen. In post, you know, once you do the DVD home release, why don't you add this in?
Oh.
I love this. It was one of my favorite movies of last year. I have it at a 90 as well. I think it was number 3 on my list. The ultimate comeback performance, the ultimate believe the hype performance by Brendan Fraser. I mean, it's everything you've heard. Just capturing the physicality of the role. I mean, it's amazing. And I love, you alluded to it, Gooch, just the claustrophobic feel of the way that this is directed with the aspect ratio. Usually I think that's kind of gimmicky when people do that, but I thought I thought in this particular instance it was great. Love the performances. You know, Sadie Sink I think is excellent. I do agree with you guys. I feel like her character at points was a little bit underwritten, but I think she did a great job. And I don't know if I said this on here, but I'll repeat it. There, you know, what maybe it's the red hair, but there's something about her that I kind of get, like, she's so natural with her acting. She reminds me a lot of like Emma Stone in a lot of her earlier roles. I think she's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, it's Brendan Fraser's movie and it's Brendan Fraser's character. And I really appreciate the fact, and Aronofsky is a master of this. He makes movies about really flawed people, but he never really asks you to root for them. He never says, well, they're misunderstood. Well, they're actually good people. I love the way this movie captures and tackles grief and loss and pain and addiction. But it doesn't do it in a way, at least I felt, didn't do it in a way that felt preachy. It's excellent. I really think it's a movie that people can go see. And I think it's accessible too. I mean, obviously it's depressing, but I think if you know anyone who's struggled with any sort of addiction at all, there's a relatability to this, just in the sense that, you know, especially with Hong Chau's character, you know, just wanting the best for this guy and just won't fucking stop. And he's so past the point of no return in his life. So I think it's an excellent film. It sticks with you too after you see it.
Exactly. Yeah. Chris didn't mention this, and I know you don't even know this, Eddie, but Chris is actually like public enemy number one for India's TikTok or India's movie account.
Yeah, no, I started World War III. Yeah.
Yeah. The movie fans in India despise Chris. They are not fans because
what'd you do?
We reviewed RRR and I didn't like it. And then the review popped like crazy. And I, in the review, I was wearing a blue shirt and every comment was like, I fucking hate blue shirt guy. And that's been consistently going on. I still get tweets about it.
It's our most viewed video, I think, on the LCB YouTube. It's crazy.
It's the first time in my life I've ever felt persecuted against for my race. I've actually gotten, I've actually gotten comments that said you should go back to your own country where they make, you know, movies. I'm like, okay, you mean where we make real movies? Okay, sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, no.
So here we go. Here we go again. No, but yeah, I know. It's I don't know how that happened. Because I remember that was so funny because I just imagined Gooch like in a lab keeping track of the numbers. He messages me being like, you understand, this is like our most popular review ever. Yeah. It was some like, I don't give a shit about this movie. And then all of a sudden it was like the biggest thing in my life for a week.
And you became the public enemy number one, I guess, for a new fan base.
Oh, yeah.
Over aspect ratio guy.
The Snyder cult got a hold of me this weekend because I was doing a random AMA on Twitter. And somebody said, if you could strap one film director to a rocket and shoot him into the sun, who would it be? Now, I don't take that as I want to murder somebody. Like, okay, I just didn't. And I was like, I don't know, fucking Zack Snyder. I don't like his movies. And then 3 days later, I got 100 quote tweets from the Snyder army being like, you're too dumb to understand his movies. Why would you want to murder a man? Somebody said, why would you want to murder Zack Snyder when Roman Polanski is still directing movies? I'm like, hey, fuckhead. I'm aware of the fact that one of these guys is a criminal. I just like, it's like, no, I think you really want to do it. I think you really want to kill him. Like, sure. Yeah. I think, yeah. If that's what your takeaway was, this and the Mike Trout tweet that I sent about him being in the playoffs. So got just a tons of traction.
That was funny.
I don't know. I like to try to have a good time, but Snyder has, you know, it's so weird. Zack Snyder's adamantly come out against people doing that. And yet they still feel this weird need to defend his honor. All joking aside, he seems like a lovely guy and I don't want bad things to happen to him, but his fans are fucking annoying.
He also doesn't see any of the actions his fan do because all he does is go on his own app. I don't know if you knew this, Eddie, but so Zack Snyder has his own social media app. I forget the name of it. I always say it's Vero. Veritas. It's Vero. Yeah. So he has his own social media app where it's just like him posting random movie news. So like journalists have to follow his account or download his app so that they can follow like up on movie news. And like, that's the only app he uses. That's it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. He's like Jeremy Renner.
Like the Jeremy Renner app.
of drugs.
Yo, speaking of which, Jay Leno, what the fuck? Did you see his tweet the other day?
We didn't talk about this earlier.
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
What? You didn't see his tweet?
No.
Oh, God.
I want to talk about
Spike from Fire to the Sun.
Yeah,
what did he say?
I got to find
it. Was it about Jeremy Renner?
Yes.
Yes. I want to read it.
Jeremy Renner. I got run over by a snowplow.
I'm going to read it word for word so that I don't misquote him. I was riding in my motorcycle up in Lake Tahoe, and I came around the corner and bam, crashed into Jeremy Renner's snowplow.
I laughed.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
It's like 2 weeks. This thing happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He just got out of the hospital.
Yeah. He's posting pictures from the hospital. He broke like 30 bones.
Hey, Leno's taking lumps too, man. He's got his face on fire.
That's what I said. Jeremy Renner should have quoted to him and been like, nice burn, Jay.
Yeah, it would have been a great comeback.
By the way, if I could fire any director, your answer is very cordial. Let's go ahead and answer this. If you could fire any director into the sun, who would you pick, Ken Jack?
Baz Luhrmann. Baz Luhrmann.
And Baz heads are going to come after you.
Who's a Baz head?
I'm not shooting Wes Anderson in the sun.
Baz Luhrmann has no fans. Not a single fan. There's no
Wes Anderson fans going to do to me?
Fucking that's the guy who did all this, right?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, I'm with you. What the fuck, man? That was so fucking infuriating.
He did The Great Gatsby too, which I've said before, I think is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
The first trailer for Elvis dropped and there was like a 3 minute intro with Baz Luhrmann just talking.
Yeah, dressed like fucking Karl like Lagerfeld.
Yeah.
He like thinks he's the star of them. Like
he has easily among all of Hollywood, at least in like the relative mainstream, the most abrasive movie visual like appendix that's ever existed. Every one of his movies. So he also did Romeo plus Juliet. You ever see that, Reddy?
Good movie.
Is that that's the Leo one?
DiCaprio one, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen that, but obviously I'm very aware of it.
It's just every movie he makes is just so visually like it burns your eyeballs. Your retinas are screaming at you after you watch a Baz Luhrmann movie. Oh, speaking of Leo, you brought up a very interesting movie that we had not heard of. What was it called again already? Don's Plum?
Don's Plum. I was shocked you guys never heard of it. So I feel like we should do an old school watch along to that, maybe.
Yeah.
We have to bring that back.
So, Eddie, you tell the story. They didn't want it released because it was just too vulgar.
That's what I understand. So like it came out 2001. So like Leo's like, you know, just kind of rising. He's on the rise, like,
yeah.
And it's Tobey Maguire, Kevin Connolly, and Leo. And the deal was, it was supposed to be like a short film, and it wasn't supposed to be distributed in the U.S. and Canada. And then like the director was like, no, we're going to do that. And then there was a big lawsuit. I ended up getting blocked. And because he was worried about his reputation was going to take a big hit if it came out. So it's like a huge story. And I don't know. It's kind of fascinating if you look into it.
Yeah. I'll try the same joke again. It would have been arguably the second worst thing to happen in 2001 if that movie had been released.
And they also, the director leaked it on, what was it? SaveDonsPlum.com.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to find. In 2015, he leaked it on FreeDonsPlum.com.
In the website, he still posts.
The whole thing
like,
is on YouTube for free if somebody wants to watch it.
See if this website's still up.
It's still up, and he posts like semi-regular updates on it. It's like the front of it's like a blog almost. What's really fucking weird,
dude? This guy's a serial killer.
I know. He's almost like the guy who directed, what was it, Rideshare, the one that like stalked me and didn't understand anything and like did a full YouTube video stalking my page. That was crazy. Shout out to Rideshare. Bad movie.
How can you? You have to email him.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. I ain't emailing him shit. All right. So that was, that was The Whale. We all like The Whale, I think, to varying degrees, but we all liked a lot and agree that Brendan Fraser was amazing. The other movie we talked about, which is not nearly as fun or good to talk about, is You People. Netflix, a movie where the trailers were dog shit. I think we all thought it was going to be unwatchably bad. I think. At the very least, me and Eddie came to the sort of agreement that there are funny parts in this movie, but it is overall very bad. Specifically, the first 30 and the last 30, when they turn it into just like this very, very ham-fisted, like social more performative, like social messaging thing. And that part is just, it's really gross. But before that, I think that we got to say, before we get to the bad, there was good. The David Duchovny obsession with Exhibit. Funny, right? I think we can all agree that.
That was a funny bit. Like I said, that's something my dad would do. Not like word for word, but my dad is obsessed with Ludacris. And
the big hands video.
It just like one of those things, dads just kind of get fixated on one thing. And like,
he read the fucking Exhibit Wikipedia at his daughter's wedding speech or his son's wedding speech. Like, that's funny. It's funny. Sorry. Just as true.
What else was funny in that movie?
The Eddie Murphy in Paris scene where he's
I hadn't got to that part when we did this the first time, and then I went and finished this movie because I'd only watched the first 20 minutes of it.
The Joe Rogan joke was good.
The Andrew Schultz wedding toast was very funny.
That was very funny. It's like I stormed the Capitol.
Yeah. The interactions with Matt Walsh, like his boss, the finance guy, I thought was very funny.
I don't know. Someone brought this up before we were recording The Dozen. We were talking about it, and Vibbs was like, why the hair? Why'd they make his hair like that?
Like, it is kind of odd.
There's no hype beast out there rocking those curls. That's the ugliest haircut I've ever seen in my whole life. It's greasy. It's miscolored.
He looks like he aged like 30 years overnight.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill. Not allowed to talk about his appearance.
Well, what's the deal with that?
He won't do, I mean, you know about this, right? He doesn't do circuits anymore for promoting his movie. He doesn't do it. He won't do any of the promotion things.
Oh, I just thought he looked like he was out in the sun too long.
People talking about like the way he looks.
Oh, well, to me, it's not a weight thing. It just looked like he was out in the sun or like for like way too long because he was like the tannest person in that movie by like a country mile, which is crazy.
Yeah. Especially with that blonde hair. He looked like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Do you think he looked at himself and he was like, I kind of look like Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, he looked good. He just looked like he just moved to Miami. He just spent too much time there and he just got.
Yeah.
I think he would have looked
happens to the
good.
Best of us.
Cut the hair.
You know what I think? Jonah Hill would be really good if he started like in this character anyway. If he started a watch brand, he would be hyper successful. That's where his money would have been made.
Yeah. I could also tell the parts that he wrote because he 100% wrote that basketball scene because he looks so fucking unathletic. Yeah. Catwoman level. Like, the ball was like hitting him in the face.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be dribbling it down the court, and then he would throw the ball up. He'd go, it shot like Dave too, honestly.
You know what? I take it back. There is something funny in that movie. I'm gonna go back and watch that scene. he's dribbling like Stanley in The Office when they play a basketball game. He's dribbling up to his head.
After the game, they give him a pair of shoes because that's something you do.
Classic behavior.
That's something you do when you play basketball. So when they have a good game, you give them a pair of shoes.
The Langston Hughes Park bit also pretty funny. That was a recurring bit that I thought was funny. I think the other big takeaway, at least I had from the movie, is that the podcast that Jonah Hill had sounded like legitimately the worst podcast to ever have existed, and exactly the type of thing that Complex would pick up, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty on brand.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about KD? Loki fell off.
It's like, let's watch this like white dude from LA talk about basketball shoes. Like, yeah, that's gonna instantly get picked up.
Say what you want about the 90s NBA, but Nick Van Exel, low-key underrated. He's one of my goats.
That'll be it. It'd be him talking about like this fucking whatever 86 Celtics like Bill. And the other thing was like their professional setup before, well, pre-professional setup, like their first podcast setup, way too professional. Like, again, you start in the podcast game. Mentioned this before, you use one item and one item only, and that's the blue snowball. It is like the old reliable of podcasting microphones, and you use the shittiest pair of headphones alongside of them. You don't have a fucking pro microphone setup. You don't have a mixer, for sure not. You don't have those like legit pro headphones that we get in our offices. None of that shit. You have garbage, and that's it. But yeah, that was the only other complaint I had about.
Do you think they know to hit record?
Yeah, at least they did that right.
Yeah. One legitimate, although they live streamed, and that first one was a live stream, so maybe they just live stream it anyway, so didn't have to press record.
When they're outside the shoe shop at the end and they're just like, it's like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Eddie Murphy like fixing race relations in America, like that was awful.
Fucking after school special.
Listen, the Netflix bar movie bar is low.
Very.
It's low. There were a couple moments I kind of chuckled at in the first hour, I guess, but it really, really tapered off, I thought. But I don't know. I guess my expectations were low, so I guess it exceeded that, so it gets a couple points. But not like I wouldn't be rushing out of the room to recommend it to people, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This review is far more entertaining than the movie. I didn't like this at all. I didn't laugh fucking at all during this thing. I thought this was painful, dude. I mean, it sucks because I really do think it's a unique premise. It's something you could go off because people try to act like there's not a divide anymore when there is one. There is when it comes to interracial relationships and how they're handled. But it's just the big problem, and it's a problem I have with a lot of comedies, is every character, you're just under the assumption every character is an idiot. And even like the whole idea, and it reminded me because it's obviously kind of trying to be Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but then they remade that, remember, in 2004 with Bernie Mac and Ashton Kutcher. And I'm not saying that that's an amazing movie, but like Bernie Mac was funny and you kind of like felt bad for Ashton Kutcher. I mean, I haven't seen that movie in forever, but like here, yeah, Eddie Murphy's a complete asshole, but Jonah Hill is a total loser. Like that was my big problem with him in this movie. I couldn't find myself rooting for him at all. You know, and you go back, I'll make this joke again. He gave a great performance as Michael Rapaport, you know, trying so hard to, you know, appropriate himself into a culture that he doesn't understand. I didn't like this. This will probably make my top 10 or bottom 10 list at the end of the year, just because there's nothing worse to me than like painful, like lowest common denominator comedy. For a movie that wastes so many talented people, it's a frustrating flick. Yeah.
Very frustrating.
That's the worst part about it, is that it's just so many talented people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we know that Eddie Murphy can still kind of swing it, because if you've seen, and you had mentioned it last time, Gooch, Dolomite, like he's still got it.
Yeah. I don't think he, of all the people in this, he's the one that came out of this the most unscathed, because his character is an asshole, but he's written to be an asshole. I don't think he was bad in it. I just felt like the movie let him down.
But see, here's the thing. Like, I know you say like they're like, make these like people, you're making them out to be dumb, but Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, like there are so many of these people that just do treat these people, that do treat like black people or whatever, like they're like objects like that, you know? And it's just like, they're just so fucking tone deaf and stupid where it's like, dude, just treat them like normal people, you know? And I don't know. Like, it's just something.
That character exists, but they just, I think they turned it up too many notches. Yeah, fair.
Fair. But like, I don't know. There were parts of me that was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. No, I get what you're saying. I think those people are for sure real. It's just, again, it's, you did need to, they did need to find a better balance.
Yeah.
For sure. If that makes sense.
As did you watch this with, as an interracial couple, did you watch this, Jack?
Yeah, she loved it. She was a big fan. And I was just like, this shit sucks, dude. What are you talking about? She didn't like the ending though. She hated the ending. Thought it sucked. But didn't, most of the things in this situation did not apply to us, believe it or not.
Not oh, really?
wasn't a big problem. Okay, before we get into our draft of comeback actors who want to make comebacks, let's talk about Rocket Money. All right, let's talk about Rocket Money. The average person has about 12 paid subscriptions. Think about that. If you've only subscribed to a handful of services, you might want to double check. With Rocket Money, you can quickly identify and cancel all of your unwanted subscriptions. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, was a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps limit and lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they forgot about, like a streaming service that you bought to watch one show on or that free trial that you never even used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify those subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones that you don't want. Simply find the subscription that you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times on customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. I used it, found a bunch of subscriptions that I wasn't even using. I had one for Xbox Live that I even had an Xbox in something like 3 or 4 years. So shout out to Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. Just to stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lights. That's rocketmoney.com/lights. rocketmoney.com/lights. All right, thanks to Rocket Money. Going to do now a draft, again, of actors we want to make a comeback. Let's start out. Eddie is going to go first, then Chris, then Gooch, then me. So Chris, or sorry, Eddie, you get to go first.
All right, is there any parameters on this? Like, what's the length of the comeback? Like, when was the last time we've seen them, like a bit roll? You know what I mean?
I think we can debate. We can debate each one
by ear. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll figure it out.
All right. My number one overall pick is pretty easy then. I mean, it's time. It's time for the Mac Man to come back. It's Macaulay Culkin.
No, that's a great pick. Because he's only in like commercials and stuff anyway.
Yeah. We're all ready.
His brother's big. His brother's in Succession.
His brother's huge. His brother's great.
Yep.
His brother's great.
I really like
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rory, hey, shout out Scream.
Yeah.
Are you a Scream fan, Eddie?
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Usually that's my call to LCB is when Scream's up. So I thought I'd get the call in March when Scream comes. It's a little early this year.
We'll bring you back. I need other Scream fans in there. They were acting like there's only one good Scream movie when in fact there are 5 good Scream movies.
No, that's just not true. Unless they came out and no one heard of them. You said 5 other good Scream movies though, Chris. Macaulay Culkin's great.
Right, yeah.
Macaulay Culkin's a great pick though. Curious what he's up to. I think all I know from his post, like Home Alone, or when his adulthood is that I think he dated Brenda Song for 5 minutes and then like that's it. He did that commercial, the Google commercial for Home Alone, and then I haven't really seen him much else.
He's been on a lot of podcasts. Like he's been on Red Letter Media stuff and he was on Rogan a few times. It's cool. It seems like he's grown up to be a generally well adjusted person, which we rarely ever see from child stars. Sadly. It's to me now. I'm going with somebody who is popular, much older, but popular right around the same time. I don't know if it's possible for them to make a comeback because I think they officially said like they've retired from acting and left the limelight. But comedic gold in the 80s, one Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Is my pick.
Great pick.
It was a few months ago, right, when somehow Ryan Reynolds got Rick Moranis to be in one of his like gin commercials or something.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, holy shit, Rick Moranis is alive. It would have been – he's the one person who they did not bring back. I'm sure they tried to for the new Ghostbusters at any point. I would like to see, because he was always funny. He's always amusing. So, yeah.
Sad story, too. Why he had to stop acting. So
Since all they do is reboot IPs now, that'd be a fun one to bring back is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
It is. Yeah. It is coming back.
Yeah, oh, they're making a new one, and I believe he's attached to it. Josh Gad, I think, is the main guy, though, in this one.
Very correctly. Bad pick.
No, not bad at all.
It's called Shrunk, I believe.
Yes, you're correct. Mm-hmm. Rick Moranis is a great pick. Sad story, too, because I think he had to quit acting because his wife got sick and then just kind of focused on being a dad, if I remember right. Okay. So sad story, but we'd be very happy to see him come back and do something different. Gooch.
Oh, already up. Man, these drafts. Confusing. good Lord. Let me go through here. Does it have to be someone who hasn't done a role in a long time, or can be someone who's been doing play very by middling roles?
We'll play by ear.
Because I am going to go Mike Myers. He did the Pentaveret last year. I mean, I didn't even watch it because I heard nothing positive about it.
It was okay.
His run in the 90s was up there. I mean, Jim Carrey, I think, would be number one for the 90s runs, but Mike Myers is funny as shit. And the fact that he hasn't really done anything since The Love Guru, it was a bad movie, but should he have lost his career over it? I don't think so, right?
What was the story, though? Like, he had a lot of, like, I think too much creative control over that movie. And what was that other story that was very funny? I think on Cat on the Hat, he had the movie pay for someone on staff to give him cookies or something like that. That might be a rumor, but like, I choose to believe it's true.
Right.
You see, I've always heard that wasn't him, but that his publicist was an asshole. That's what I've heard. But.
Well, I always heard that he was just like, he got a reputation for being difficult to work with. But then I heard it's because he just really was stuck in his ways with what he believed in creatively. Like, the rumor goes that they wanted to take out Bohemian Rhapsody from Wayne's World. And he's like, no, this is the fucking song. Like, we're sticking with this song. Like, no other song's going to be in this. And he was right, you know?
Yeah.
So it's 100%. Like, what do you fucking do in that situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, he was the one, speaking of creative decisions, he forced them to allow him to do the Scottish accent.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. That was not written in at all. Just did it.
He could come back.
So funny.
He also, again,
bringing back Shrek, I think,
those,
right?
Those random roles he does every now and then, like in fucking Inglourious Basterds, just so random, but it's just like, I like that. I like seeing him back in the business a bit. But Pentaveret, maybe wasn't great.
I would love to see him lead a comedy movie. Even bring back Austin Powers. I don't care.
I bet they do at some point. It feels like one. It's just hanging there that they bring it back.
Yeah.
Even as much of a step down as 3 was from 1 and 2, it's still funny. Like, there's still jokes left in that tank, and you could do a lot more, especially now that like we just got done with Craig's full run.
Yeah.
Like, you could do a lot of parody off like how serious and like more dramatic his Bond movies were. Like, that'd be fun to do.
Yeah. All right. So I'm up. I'm going to pick a comeback. And for this guy, I just want him to come back for one last hurrah. One last movie. That's it. He's up there in age. Just hasn't done a movie in a long time because he hasn't had to. His success story is more than big enough. Jack Nicholson. Yeah. Just give me Jack Nicholson and one more movie.
Wow. Yeah.
Give me Jack Nicholson in one more movie and I'll be satisfied forever. But he's just been not acting in anything for a while, which, again, understandably, he's very old. But I would just love to see him just one last role. Nothing too kinetic like he's like usually doing, I guess, but just something good.
Just a line. Even just a line.
Yeah.
Just to see him one more time.
One last time before he rides off into the sunset. Not in like the mean way, but just like until he rides off into the Hollywood sunset, I guess. But I'd love Jack Nicholson. Yeah,
Scorsese's doing a new movie every 2 years at this point. Like, we can find a role for him. Come on,
find a spot.
It's reports too. Like I said, this is all rumor and whatnot. But it's supposedly he's not, you know, like has trouble remembering lines and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember that story.
Yeah, so who really knows? But like you said, like just find a good like little one hitter line and just a nice way to see him kind of ride off. It just seems like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood would have been the perfect, perfect role, right? You know, but
that would have been great.
You haven't acted since 2010.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It's been a long time since we saw him. The next actor,
I would potentially, like, it doesn't work for this draft concept, but if I could, like, if we could change it to being, can I go back in time and erase the bad shit they did so that they could make a comeback? Kevin Spacey would be on that list. I mean, you just want to talk about a guy that's a fucking great actor. You go back and watch, like, anything he's in. He's just so good at everything. He's just such
on the graphic.
I can't. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not picking him. I'm just saying.
Well, You're not wrong. You're not wrong. He is like a world-class, like, top-of-the-line actor.
But he is just also a world-class, top-of-the-line, like, rapist, which makes it very, very, like, it's just, you can't. You can't have him ever again. Just what a fucking asshole, man. Waste. But so I'll actually have to pick, let's say, this is where it gets a little bit tougher. I think Sean William Scott. I think I'll pick.
Okay.
I think Sean William Scott, I mean, he hasn't really been in much over the last, like, however, I guess, decade. But, like, every time he shows up in something, even if you start from, like, 2010, it's like he's always good. Like, when he showed up as, like, Mac's cousin in It's Always Sunny, like, hysterical. When he showed up in, what was the, even, like, The Goon or whatever it was, like, the hockey movie, that was a solid movie.
Good movie, yeah.
He was good in that. And him in Role Models, like, hilarious. Just absolutely hilarious. The dude has the chops. I feel like if you could just put him in, like, one more thing, like, get him something, get his comedy career off the up and running again. I feel like we could really be onto something. So I'm going with back-to-back Jack Nicholson, Sean William Scott, combination of people that everyone always associate with each other.
I feel like the game just kind of moved away from, like, what he's good at.
But even like
his comedy, like his style of comedy, like, they just don't make that anymore, which is sad. But like,
yeah, that's the box problem where, like, people want to fit him in a box. And as far as, like, what he can do, I think he could do more. I think he could adapt and overcome and do something different.
Both were on my board. You're right. I mean, hey, Sean William Scott, I mean, his roles have been canceled, so to speak.
Yeah.
I know they everybody cares about Stifler's mom now, but nobody's asking about Stifler. Come on.
That is ironic that she became the biggest star from that.
Joe Bowen sent me a very funny clip earlier. It was an article from The Athletic saying Jennifer Coolidge's superpower is taking the roles of that the industry has typecast her in, oversexed, obnoxious women of a certain age, and humanizing them into something more than a mere laughing stock, which is not true. Which is just not true. At these roles that you're talking about, she is, like, you're laughing at her because she's so fucking ridiculous. That is the point of those characters. Like, literally, if you go and look at Tanya's death in The White Lotus, it's her blindly running around a fucking boat shooting people until she falls overboard like fucking Buster Keaton. Like, that is not subverting your fucking expectation. Like, that's the point of the role. You're laughing at what she's doing. It's just people try to read too much in that sort of shit. Gooch, you're up.
Trying to decide. I'm going to go. I mean, count, yeah. Does Eddie Murphy count? Because Dolomite was his last real lead movie. That was 2008. That was 5 years ago. And before that, he hadn't done shit. Like, he really hasn't been doing much.
Yeah, I'll count it.
I would absolutely count it.
Yeah.
Like, he's another guy where it's like, good Lord, the run he had early, like, I mean, the 80s, obviously. And then, God. This guy,
he's making it every 5 minutes and then stopped. So
So Coming to America, completely forgot about that. He needs to make a comeback and do, like, a real comedy, like something that's funny, like something that'll make me laugh. Not You People, not Coming to America.
Yeah,
stupid ass title. Eddie Murphy's one of the goats. I mean, he's like a stand-up goat and a comedic actor goat. Like, he's just funny as hell. This is like this draft is just showing us too, like, they don't make comedies the way they used to. Like,
not even just the way they used to, they just don't make them. They just don't make comedy movies anymore. Just stopped. Chris.
I'm going to go with an actor who, like, was famous for so long. And it's one of those things, very similar. The Jack Nicholson pick reminded me of this person because they peaked, like, at their top. They were top of the A-list. Respected actor. Then they kind of became a meme, like a parody of themselves. And people forgot that they're actually an amazing actor. Christopher Walken. I want to see Christopher Walken come back at some, because the last thing I can remember him being in, the last big project, was Seven Psychopaths, which he was great in. I thought he was awesome in that. And he's another, like, because of the music videos and the dancing and, you know, the Pulp Fiction scene with the watch up his ass. Like, people forget he was like up there with like De Niro and Pacino as like one of the respected actors of his era. Like, he's an Academy Award winning actor in The Deer Hunter. So
Deer Hunter, man.
He's another one, like, much like Nicholson, one more like great role, like send off role to be like, hey, you know, I've had a hell of a career. And like, he's always been so charismatic and funny. Like, I'd love to see him back.
He's really good in Severance. And I think he's done a couple other TV shows since. He did one where I think he was like, what was it? There's some British show where he plays like a convict or some shit. I forget. Okay. I don't know the name, but I just see commercials for it. He's doing like other things like that. But yeah, it's like his like serious dramatic movie career, I feel like, kind of took a turn post Cowbell SNL moment.
Yeah.
And then he kind of got cast in movies like Balls of Fury and stuff like that.
Well, that's a funny movie, though.
That movie, that's another one that we were talking about. I remember when we recorded this before, we were talking about Malibu's Most Wanted. Like, Balls of Fury, that's a movie, it'll make me laugh every time I watch it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Fucking, what's his name from? Shit,
Dan Fogler?
Dan Fogler. Yeah. Damn. What's for his name? The old boy from
Mars Needs Moms.
No, not Mars Needs Mom. The fucking wizard, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's
you're talking about, oh, fuck, what's his name? God damn it.
Why Terry Crews?
Dude, what was his name?
James Hong?
No, I'm talking about in Fantastic Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, like Snizzleworth Bogsworth or whatever was his name, some character name? Oh, wait, no, what's the Ezra Miller character has a very funny name.
Yeah, well, that's Newt Scamander.
No, well, Newt Scamander's name is very funny, but this, well, fuck, I forget his name. Eddie, you got back to back.
Jacob Kowalski.
Jacob Kowalski. Kowalski, yeah. Nice Polish boy.
Yeah. From New York City.
All right, I'm going to go back. It's all nostalgia for me. It's all nostalgia. Yep. We're going, let's bring back fucking Jennifer Love Hewitt. Let's see what she's got.
Yeah. Now, dust that off. That's a great pick.
Right? I mean, dude, she was all over the place back in the day. I mean, I know what she did last summer, Can't Hardly Wait. Like, those are some classics. And then she just, you know, Teen Magazine, all those. Like, she was just all over the place.
She was her. Like, which is the girl version of him. She was her.
She was the it girl there for a little bit.
True. What was the show where she talked to ghosts?
Ghost Whisper.
Yeah. Damn.
Real creative.
I basically described the show as the name. It's just the volume in which she says it.
Yeah, and like, I'm not saying it would be good, but I'm just saying, like, if you heard that she was leading a movie, you would be interested, right?
You'd tune in.
Oh, yeah, I'd be interested.
Yeah.
I was thrilled when she was in Garfield.
Yeah. Do you ever hear the story of that, Garfield, with Bill Murray? Bill Murray signed on to do the Garfield movie because the guy who's directing it, I think, what was his name, like John Cohen, he thought
Joel,
he was
no it was it was Joel Cohen
the guy's
was
name like, was Joel Cohen. So yeah. The guy named Joel Cohen was directing it. He thought it was one of the Cohen brothers, just a different guy named Joel Cohen.
Joel Cohen was one of the writers. Peter Hewitt directed
that. Okay, that was it. Something like that. But yeah, that's a rough scene for old Bill. Eddie, get back to back.
Tough. All right. You tell me if this one counts. He's in a big one this year, and he's kind of back, but he was like one of the original What Happened to That Guy, and he's, like I said, he's kind of back, so I don't know if he counts, but I mean, Josh Hartnett.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, definitely counts.
All right.
He's good. Oppenheimer's the first thing he's been in forever.
So here's a little story. Me and Jeff interviewed Josh Hartnett, I want to say 6 months ago, probably at this point, for this Guy Ritchie movie. It was supposed to come out that same week. Still hasn't come out, so we still haven't been able to air the interview. It's really? Still stored somewhere. I don't know where, but we have an interview with him. He was a very pleasant guy. And you want to talk about dudes that had an incredible run. He was in basically every movie from 1998 to 2004, I would guess, right?
Yeah. Did Pearl Harbor kill it for him? Like, was that?
That was like 2001. He was in like Black Hawk Down, 40 Days and 40 Nights. Horror movie, Faculty. Is that it?
I love that movie. That's like one of my guilty pleasure movies. It's also one of the best casts like of all time. Have you ever looked at that cast?
Dude, it's massive.
It's insane. It's truly one of the greatest casts of all time. Like, not exaggerating either.
Lucky number 11 might have been the turning point. That was 2006. 30 days and 30 nights. Yeah, or no, not. Yeah, so he did 40.
And then he did 30 days of night.
Yeah. Shit, I never put that together. That's crazy. There has to be more. I always thought he kind of looked like, or when Frankie grows a mustache, our coworker Frankie, he kind of looks like Josh Hartnett a little bit. I don't know if you see it, but I don't know. I thought it was a little.
I think he kind of looks like. I think he looks like Jacob Kowalski when he grows out a mustache.
That pencil thin mustache. But yeah, I think that's a great pick.
Round face, Frankie.
They put that dude in absolutely everything. Boy. And it was just, man, he just disappeared. Where did he go?
He's the Brandon Jennings of the acting world.
Brandon Jay scored 55 points as a rookie or whatever, and then just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Monta Ellis.
Well, he went where all careers go to die, and that's Detroit.
Mm, that's right. He didn't even go to college, right? He like played in Italy or something.
He was one of those original, like, I'm going to do a year overseas guys. Yeah.
It
was
so fucking cool when he did that.
Let's see. Man, he had Pearl Harbor and Blackhawk Down in the same year. That's fucking sheesh. So it was definitely the two biggest war movies of that year, at least. And then there was an actual war that happened kind of after that, later in the year. Sin City, 2005, yeah. Hollywood Homicide with fucking Harrison Ford. Yeah, there we go. Now we're cooking. 40 Days and 40 Nights there again. And that girl that was in there was another person. Like, her name is like Shoshana something. That was also in A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger. She was big for 5 seconds too, and then she disappeared. Fuck. That was a great pick, Eddie.
What was that girl's name? She was never in anything else.
She was in those two movies. She was like the love interest in those two movies, and then I never saw her in a movie again. I think she's married to what's his name from My Name Is Earl, Jason Lee, I think. And I think their kid has a weird name, if I remember right, like pilot instructor or something.
God, she was so hot in that film.
She was. Chris, you're up.
I'm gonna go with a guy that I want him to make a comeback, but under the caveat he chooses projects like he did in the 90s. Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp, I think, you know, okay, I gotta walk a tightrope here. I think there's this idea out there that Johnny Depp's career like died because of the Amber Heard thing. No, it died because he did fucking Mordecai and like a bunch of shit.
The Rum
like,
Diaries.
Yes, like it's dark shit. And obviously, like, it sucks what happened to him. I'm glad, you know, they won the suit. Like, well, you know, that's all true, but he was in a lot of bad movies consecutively. And it's one of those things. It's one of those prime examples. You brought it up with Christopher Walken and you know, the cowbell thing where what an actor becomes known for kind of ruins his career. Cause like when he played Jack Sparrow, that was his peak, right? And everyone's like, what an amazing performance. And then every fucking role he took after that was here's Johnny Depp in a funny hat. Everyone, Alice in Wonderland, Chocolate Factory, Public Enemies, Mordecai. It was just him being wacky, kooky, and zany. When in the 90s, this guy was like, he was such a versatile actor and like really cared about his characters. And somewhere along the line, he kind of just stopped caring. I'd love to see him come back and do. And in fairness, the one movie he was in somewhat recently where he was great was Black Mass. He was fucking awesome as Whitey Bulger. Like, I want to see him take
roles. That movie stunk. He was good in that, though.
He was really good in it. Strong. I want to see him take roles like that, that allow him to stretch as an actor, not just be some variant Goofball of what Jack Sparrow was. Yeah.
Yeah, just insane. He had a rough decade. That's a good point.
The more time he spends in London, I think the worse actor he becomes.
Got to fund that wine collection, man.
Exactly.
You're from
Mega Pint.
Quick cosplaying. You're from Paris, Kentucky.
Yeah. Except your roots already. I recently rewatched Chocolat for the first time in a while. Man, dude. Talk about this being like the sexiest man on earth for like a hot 10 years, I would say, from like what, 95 to 2005. Just unbelievable.
Good looking guy. Have you seen Crybaby?
No.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny little, it's like a spoof of Grease almost, or spoof of like a 50s like greaser kind of movie. And he's really good in it. He sings in it. Like, it's charming.
He has a very funny bit in, I don't know if you guys have ever watched the show Life's Too Short with, it's Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, and Warwick Davis. HBO show. But Johnny Depp has a very funny cameo in it, as does Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's cameo in that show, it every single time I watch it, I like cry laughing. It's so good. It's so funny anyway. Gooch, you're up.
I'm going to go with, and he's done, actually, I don't even know if I can count him because he's done a lot of stuff, but it's nothing big. I was going to go with Ron Livingston. He's done a lot of indie stuff, but
no, that's good. That's good pick.
Yeah.
Ron Livingston is a guy that feels like he should have taken off like big time after Office Space. And he really never did. Like, he's very charming in like almost like the Vince Vaughn kind of way, like an everyman. Yeah. Like, and he's just never really done it. I guess it's
Band of Brothers.
Project. I'm looking through. Yeah. The Band of Brothers. I'm looking through his projects now and he's just doing so much smaller stuff.
The last big thing he was in.
He was in Flash.
Jennifer Schmuck.
He wasn't in the.
Yeah, he's one of like his co-workers, Paul Rudd's co-workers in Jennifer Schmuck's. Yeah.
And he's going to be in The Flash as.
Billy Crudup's character. Spencer was in Jennifer for sure, Schmuck's, if I remember right.
He took Billy Crudup's character, Henry Allen, the dad. Ron Livingston, just. You always got the vibe he should have been bigger than what he was. Still on the table for him because he hasn't. He's one of those guys that really hasn't aged much at all.
No, he looks good. One of my favorite Family Guy bits of all time, the bit with Ron. I posted on Twitter a few days ago. Ron Livingston's parents.
Oh, they can't recognize him.
Well, they're on a bus and they can't remember his name. And a random guy just goes, "Is your son Ron Livingston?" Yes, that's bothered me all day. Thank you.
That's funny. That's a great that guy actor. We're like, you see something like, oh.
There's a Twitter post a few weeks ago that says – it says something like, "This motherfucker looks like every person ever," or something. Yeah.
There should be a movie with him and Kyle Chandler. I feel like they could play brothers in a movie.
He's an everyman. You can just see yourself in him.
Yeah. All right. I got back to back. I'll start with Avery Brooks. I was tweeting about him the other day. I don't know if any of you have seen Star Trek Deep Space Nine, the superior Star Trek series. But Avery Brooks, he was the star of that. He was in American History X, The Principal. He was in a bunch of other really, really good movies. And then he just kind of disappeared. And I was reading about it more. And like, he apparently was like blacklisted from Hollywood for, and I couldn't figure out exactly the reason why. But he was in so many really, really good movies and is always like the best part of them. And then he just like kind of fell off the face of the earth. He's probably not. People might think I'm like drafting him too high or something, but like, because he's not like a giant name or anything, but I think he's just legitimately an exceptional actor that I just haven't seen in anything in a while. And I would love to see him back in a movie. After him, it gets a little dicier. I would say Jerry Seinfeld, like he just kind of sits back collecting his $50 trillion Seinfeld checks and like doing that stupid car show that nobody watches, like other than old people. Like I would like to see him, not in like a dumpy CBS sitcom or something, but like something funny. I would like to see him in a funny role. I like if you could have Larry David stop making Curb and make a new show with Jerry Seinfeld, I'd watch that. Although I'd rather watch Curb in either way. But yeah, I'd like to see Jerry Seinfeld in something, not B movie and not whatever. He's making some new movie soon, I think. And he cast a few people in it.
Popped.
Yeah, that's right. The Pop-Tart thing.
Who did we interview that's in that?
Fuck, I don't remember.
The way they pitched it was really interesting, though. I remember that. I can't remember how they pitched it now.
Shit. Yeah,
they pitched it as like an arms race movie, the Pop-Tart.
Yeah, fuck. I really can't remember. But I think so. That's my back to back: Avery Brooks and Jerry Seinfeld. Gooch, you're up.
I have one or two.
You got one.
You have one. You have two. You have two total left, but you have one pick.
Okay. This movie reminded me of another person. You people did. I'm going to go with him. David Duchovny. A guy who should have something on TV that's big. Say what you want. I think he's a good TV actor.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a great movie actor. His movies, I mean, the X-Files movies, as much as I love the X-Files, one of my favorite shows of all time, those movies stink. But
He should have the Christian Slater role in Mr. Robot. Like, that's the type of role he could easily kill.
Exactly. That's a perfect role for him. Like, he should be on a big time TV show. I don't know what it is, but it feels like he's got stuff left in the tank. I mean, he did Californication, which was a good show. I don't think it's great, like some people think. I like it, though. He checked in for Sex Addiction during the filming of it, the role a little too literally. Get him back on his feet. Not you people. I don't need to see more you people.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you're up.
I'm going to go with an actor that my buddy once referred to this guy as the best movie star that never was. Like he was, it seemed like he was on the verge of popping in the early to mid 2000s. And every time I see him in a movie, I'm like, God, I really like that guy. And he was in one of my favorite movies of 2021, which was The Kid Detective. And that's Adam Brody. I always fucking liked that guy. Everything he's in, I always liked him. I think Shia LaBeouf took his shine. Like, I think Shia LaBeouf, like, got the career that he was supposed to have. He was just too old to play high school Peter Parker, I think. Like, he just missed that window. Kid Detective is an awesome movie. That was one of my favorite movies of that year. So, yeah, just always really liked him. I think he's making some sort of a comeback now. He was in Shazam.
You're excited for Shazam too.
Mainly, he was the best part of the first one. For him. So yeah, I always really liked Adam Brody.
That's a good pick. He also, a role I always liked him in was Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He plays the CIA's planter, whatever guy. Yeah. Very funny role.
Dude,
for him.
And Thank You for Smoking. He's funny as shit in that movie. Yeah,
that's a good movie. More, I gotta go rewatch that.
It's one of my favorite comedies of all time. Yeah,
it's really
good cameo in Promising Young Woman.
Oh, that's yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah, he was like the first douchebag.
Yeah, right? Damn.
Yeah, fuck, he's great in that. Yeah, that was cool. Wow, then he did have a good year that year because that was my favorite movie of that year. So I forgot he was in that. Yeah.
All right, Eddie, you get back to back to close out.
All right, I mean, Gooch, you mentioned him. I feel like this guy's draftable. You guys tell me if I'm wrong, but Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
He hasn't done a ton. I get like Freaky is the last movie he was in, which he was really good in, by the way.
I was going to say he was good in that.
Was it? Yeah. All right. I didn't see it.
That's not like a big thing. Like that's not a Vince Vaughn like iconic role. Like that's
he does like S. Craig Zahler movies and shit, like Brawl and Cell Block 99 and what was that? Dragged Across Concrete, which like, and that was with Mel Gibson, who would also, I guess, kind of be considered to a degree in one of these type of dress, but like he's really good in those movies, but it's also not, or even what was the Garfield one, Heartbreak Ridge,
Hacksaw Ridge.
Like
he was in that, yeah,
saw it in that, but like, yeah, he's not doing a Wedding Crashers, which I'm assuming you're more talking about stuff like that.
So I'm looking at it right now. His last big one, I guess, would probably be Delivery Man and The Internship. That was 2013, so we're a decade out.
Right. Did his season of True Detective kill him?
Oh, that was so bad.
It was bad. That's tough. That was a tough spot for him. And it's not his fault either.
And guess what? That was in 2015, which is hard to believe too.
Jesus.
That's a long fucking time ago.
Damn. That season's
bad. Like if you don't want to count that, I understand. But like, I feel like there's definitely an appetite of people to be like, I haven't seen Vince Vaughn in forever.
I think I think that's a fair pick. Just put on the graphic Vince Vaughn in like parentheses in comedies, I think. And I think we're set. Because he hasn't really been in a lot of comedies. And like Freaky you could consider like semi in between, but like it really wasn't a traditional type of comedy for him.
Look at this. Yeah, I did Fighting with My Family, which is a good movie.
Good movie. Not really his movie, though.
That to anyone. Nice little wrestling movie. Arkansas was good. It's such a small
Arkansas was solid,
small
yeah.
Small movie though.
Hey, all right, maybe I'm just missing them. I don't know.
No, but those characters in movies. I agree in the theme of the draft. Like, he definitely needs a comeback. Like, that's not.
He wants to be a star again. Yeah,
those are all like indies. Well, in Arkansas, what was his character's name? He had like a cool boss name. I forget what it was.
Frog. Yeah.
Wait, really? That was it?
Yeah, Frog.
Oh, damn. It was not a very cool name after all. It was just kind of a name. But that's a solid one. I gotta rewatch that. Eddie, your last pick.
Last one. I'm gonna go back to the Jennifer Love Hewitt route. I'm gonna take Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. That's a great one. I had it on my list, but I was just like in between on it.
I feel like people forget how famous she was she was fucking everywhere for like 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Buffy.
Yeah. And then just kind of disappeared. And other Buffy people, like what? Who's Nate? Was not Nathan Fillion. Who's the other dude that was in Buffy?
I thought you were going to say Nate's a big Buffy guy.
Yeah,
no, that would make sense.
That would make sense.
Fuck, what's that dude's name? It's the dude we interviewed, David Boreanaz. He was Angel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he, which is also, I think, a Buffy character. But yeah, it's interesting. I like that pick. She was everywhere and then she was nowhere.
Yeah.
Basically.
Her and Freddie Prinz, though. They do like a podcast or something. They're influencers. Yeah.
Yes.
That one clip when they're talking. Have you seen that?
About Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Have you seen that before, Eddie?
No. What was that?
Let me see if I can pull it up.
I'm just looking now. So I guess she was in Clerks 3, but before that, 2009 was her last movie. So
damn,
yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah. How'd she not like parlay that into something? I don't know. That's hard.
I mean, she was in a lot of shit though.
I saw. I saw that clip that you were talking about for like 2 seconds, and I would skip over it every time. It was just a picture of Freddie Prinz wearing his podcaster headphones, and I was like, I don't need to. I see how the thumbnail, and I'm like, I'm good. Swipe right by it. Although Freddie Prinze Jr. was on my list. Okay, Chris, your last pick.
My last pick, okay. It's kind of a jokey one, but he's become a larger than life figure in more ways than one. And this would never happen, but I would love to see him come back because he's burned so many bridges. I'd love to see him come back and make one more shitty action movie. Steven Seagal. I would love to see Steven Seagal because, like, if you've ever watched an interview with him, he still thinks he could be like Steven Seagal from the 80s. Like, he still thinks he could beat the shit out of any of these guys. I can't remember where it was. Somebody asked him, like, who's the biggest, like, toughest guy in Hollywood? And somebody's like, he's like, could you beat up Jason Statham? And he'd like chuckled, like, of course I could. Mm-hmm. Even though he's fucking massive right now and everybody hates him. Just one time, Steven Seagal in another action movie. Send off, do like what Jean-Claude Van Damme did with JCVD would be awesome. Yeah. So,
You said Seagal?
Yeah.
No, but there are at least in the 80s, like with this really bad run of crappy action movies, there's an allure to that sort of movie. The same that was with Jean-Claude Van Damme, but Jean-Claude Van Damme was like more likable than Steven Seagal.
Who isn't?
I saw I was rewatching Executive Decision earlier this week, and like they would just have him in a movie where he'll be playing like a Navy SEAL or something, and he's just sitting there like overweight. He would have a ponytail for some reason. Yeah. And he'd just like run up to a guy and do like the stiffest karate chop and just drop him.
he does grab him by the neck.
He does, yeah, and he's like an Aikido master, and like they have all those clips of him like facing down Aikido people and just like barely tapping them and they go flipping fucking them flying. It's so funny. And he's like, what? He's Putin's number one guy, no?
Yeah, no, he's good friends with Putin. Everybody, he's worst SNL host of all time. quite a rap sheet.
Yeah
I mean, I'd watch a fucking movie with Seagal as the villain. I mean, that would, come on, Gooch, that would get you up a little bit.
One more Expendables and put him
in.
Everything I find out about him, I like him less.
Oh, no, he's a horse's ass. Like, I'm not debating that. It'd just be funny because I think the movie would probably stink, and it'd be funny to see him try to beat people up.
Yeah,
Eddie, did you see The Menu?
No, I did not
yet.
No,
John Leguizamo's in there, and he plays a washed up actor who's just kind of a douchebag and like name drops all the time. And like John Leguizamo, like the whole like promotion tour was like, I based the character on Steven Seagal.
That's great.
He's taking some shots.
Yeah. Gucci, by
the way, I did find that the Scooby clip, and it is very funny. I'm gonna play it. Let's see if I can share. How do I do this? There we go. There we go.
I have seen that clip. I thought you were talking about a podcast clip. Yeah.
Like, ask him, like, why? Like, Sarah Michelle Gellar's giving this nice, in depth, like, why Scooby was so resonant with the children of America. Freddie Prinze comes in with, I mean, he's a talking dog.
He's a talking dog. I mean,
what more you need to
know?
That's
great.
Just the king of a himbo.
That's a great clip. Gooch, your last pick.
All right, my last pick. She retired recently. And it had a lot to do with like onset injuries, but I'm already missing her. Need her to come back. Adriana Chechik. Need her back in the game.
that clip of her getting
onset
demolished.
Injuries.
On by that, what was it, mechanical bull or something? Or did she just jump in something? I forget.
jumped in the doing a stream. Shouldn't laugh. She broke her back.
Yeah.
Dude, all right, that, that
get well soon.
That fucking jump, dude, like
the fact that it was on a live stream is what makes it tough. Bad.
That's
not a catch a guy. I'll be frank. Never have been.
She's got a very wide film. She's got a very wide filmography. You know what I'm saying?
Not into butt stuff. It's just Ken Jack doesn't like butt stuff. Everyone knows this.
She's
that's
retired
what
though, dude. She's not coming back.
Yeah, she's retired. at least when I looked up retired porn stars 10 minutes before we started.
She did your research. She came
on the list. The other names in consideration: Jenna Jameson, although a little before my time.
Yeah,
that's
Sasha Gray, who is a actress in her own right.
She was in a Soderbergh movie, right?
She was. Her song was in the Mission Impossible Fallout. That was her singing in the club scene.
Really?
They go into France. Yeah.
Entourage.
Wait, Sasha Gray, the porn star?
Yeah, like she has like she like does DJ stuff now, and like she was like the featured singer on this song that was playing during the scene where they land on that nightclub in France after the Halo jump.
Fallout's even a better movie now.
Exactly.
101 out of 100.
I got a couple left. I can tip picks, I guess, now. So I always kind of like Jack Fox from Lost. He has like a cool intensity to him, but like he's not an actor where I'm like, I fucking need to see more Jack Fox. Like Tony Shalhoub, I would love to see.
Was it Jack Fox or Matthew Fox?
Oh, you're right. Matthew Fox. Jack Fox is the punter for the Lions. That's my bad. Because he follows, he's a big Sharon Lefty guy. So shout out Jack Fox. Tony Shalhoub, like I know he's in Miss Maisel, but like I don't know.
He's really good in Mrs. Maisel too.
Fucking make a new season of Monk. I don't need any more Mrs. Maisel. Hayden Christensen.
That was on my short list. Yeah.
Yeah, but like at the same time, I'm like he's still kicking. He's in some stuff.
I love him, but is he a good actor?
That's the other thing. Is like, but like if he were to make a new movie that isn't Little Italy, like yeah.
Shattered Glass is one of my favorite movies of all time. He's great.
Yes, you mentioned that.
I thought you were going to say Jumper, but whatever.
Emilio Estevez, I considered as well. Which very funny American Dad bit on Emilio Estevez. Just like I wish more people were like Emilio Estevez. He made some good movies and just rode off into the sunset. And never heard from him again. Tobey Maguire, Ashton Kutcher, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, I've also considered heavily.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, because like he just haven't seen him in anything really.
No,
Kick-Ass,
young woman.
Yeah, for 5 seconds, Michael Cera. I feel like I haven't seen him in anything in a long time.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg took his throne.
Yeah, that's true.
I do like the Ashton Kutcher thing. I still think it's wild that no one really talks about that, where he just went blind.
Yeah,
he does a bunch of charity shit.
Blind?
Yeah, okay, so Ashton Kutcher, the reason he wasn't acting, among, like, he also, like, started a family with Mila Kunis, like, so, you know, dealing with that shit, but he had a nervous system disease that basically shut down his body. Like, he couldn't see, he, like, couldn't hear, like, he was basically living in hell for a year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Is he good? But I take it he's good now because he's in that.
He's good now, yeah, and so he's just now getting back into the game. Wow. Actually, he's getting older and he's, you know, healthy now. But yeah, no, wild. No one, and he didn't tell him. Well, the reason nobody talked about it, he didn't tell anybody until post afterwards.
Wow. Holy
shit.
That's why he kind of disappeared from the public eye. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going with Michael Cera, and that leaves our teams as Eddie. You have Macaulay Culkin, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Josh Hartnett, Vince Vaughn, and Sarah Michelle Gellar. Chris, you have Rick Moranis, Christopher Walken, Johnny Depp, Adam Brody, Steven Seagal. Gucci, you have Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Ron Livingston, David Duchovny, and Adriana Chechik. I have Jack Nicholson, Sean William Scott, Avery Brooks, Jerry Seinfeld, and Michael Cera. It's going to be an interesting draft. I'm very curious.
Yeah.
I had
another joke in there that would have been way worse.
Okay. Well, could we still?
I was going to say Chris Farley.
I almost went with I actually thought that too. I almost wanted to go with Dick.
I haven't seen him in anything in a while.
Yeah. I am the one I almost went with that was on my short list because it's an actor I love. And we brought up one of his movies, ironically, a few minutes ago, Aaron Eckhart.
Ooh,
I feel like
yeah.
It's been a long time since we've seen Aaron Eckhart, man.
Battle Los Angeles or something.
That's a draft we should do is movies that had badass trailers that sucked. The trailers Battle Los Angeles were fucking awesome. And the movie was just it's not even terrible. It's
okay.
Yeah,
it could have been way better. But
he was always good. Yeah,
He was in like obviously Dark Knight, but like think you're smoking Brockovich. The poor Aaron Brockovich.
Dude, his handlebar great mustache. His handlebar mustache and Aaron Brockovich is so funny.
I like him. He's got an interesting. Oh wait, he did I Frankenstein or Victor Frankenstein.
I think that's what killed it. Is he did I Frankenstein?
Yeah. Wait, was it I Frankenstein or Victor Frankenstein? Which?
No, I Frankenstein. Victor Frankenstein was the Max Landis one with Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy.
Yeah. And James McAvoy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so that's our list. Thank you very much, Eddie, for coming back on to do this a second time. Really appreciate it.
Hey, happy to be here. Happy to be here. Scream's coming out. Excited for Scream 6, baby.
You'll be on for Scream 6. That is the very least we can do for you. We'll be back on Friday with the long take and also Thursday with the bracket. And we'll have Jeff back, I believe, at the very least for the LCB episode. So thanks again to Eddie, from myself, Gooch, and Chris. We will see you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy, and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.